Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 16, the verses 22 through 40. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 16, beginning with verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go, and now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily, and nay fairly, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, then by renewal on this holy day of rest, then we attempt to come unto thee as a company of poor sinners, with all our needs, with all our desires, with all the trials of life, with all our sins, but also with all our blessings. We're in the midst of mourning and trials. Then thou hast still left many good things, many blessings in the midst of our children, above so many people, yea, above most of the inhabitants upon the face of the earth. And then we commend unto thee all the suffering ones, the hungry ones, those that dwell in countries where the war still continues, where there is so much death, so much mourning, and so much suffering. Then we think of all the countries, many places upon the earth, were on this Sabbath day, that they could not go to a place of worship on account of persecution. Great multitudes in hospitals, upon sick and deathbeds, then great numbers in prison, and then the great multitudes that have not the truth, that have not thy word, and those that had thy word but have departed, and have spent this day as other days, with no impression that they have a never-dying soul that needs to be saved. But, Lord, thou knowest that we can be under the truth, and that in many ways that we resemble them with so little impression that we have a never-dying soul, and to that end we are so busy in seeking our happiness, our comfort and our contentment here in the things below. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of Thee that Thou may bless Thy word richly in this evening hour to the hearts of young and old. Thou knowest if Thou leavest us lie in our lost condition, then we are forever undone. And how terrible it shall be to meet Thee as an angry judge when we have lived under the truth and heard that there is a way of escape, but that we have not sought it, that we have not desired it. And to that end, Lord, then we humbly ask Thee that by Thy free and sovereign grace, that in this hour that Thou may use Thy word, that it may be applied to the hearts, that it may become reality before it becomes reality at the end, and that we would be given to seek Thee. Lord, then we commend unto Thee those true seekers who cannot deny that they have tasted of the precious things of the Lord, but that stand in need of a solution concerning their heavenly high debt, and where they have learned that with all their efforts that they are a sinner still, and yet sinners that cannot miss Thee. Lord, wilt Thou then open Thy word and the precious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ? Wilt Thou grant further instructions to Thy people? Wilt Thou bless Thy word? Help fathers and mothers to that end with their solemn responsibility, but then Thou wast also given helps, and then also in the church, and then the season has arrived that the children hope to be instructed. There is an empty place. Then we ask Thee that there may be those among the youth with an upright and sincere desire to remain under the old truth and under the old ways, with profound impressions and with multiplied prayers, the necessity to be a living member of the living church of the living King. Lord, do then work from generation to generation. We commend unto Thee our school, a large empty place in a classroom, in the school, on a school bus. Oh Lord, may it leave a lasting impression, accompanied by the saving work of Thy Holy Spirit, that it may richly be used for the coming of Thy kingdom. We commend unto Thee all those that labor therein and therewith. Do grant traveling mercies from day to day, and when Thy holy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. We commend unto Thee Thy church all over the earth. Wilt Thou remember all those that are called to labor in Thy vineyard in different ways? Remember Thy servants who have become old, who are weak and frail, we commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake. Oh, may the time soon arrive that that veil may be removed. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servant, the team with the families, and may the labors richly be blessed. We commend unto thee Bible translators, those that may distribute thy word many different ways and many different places, and do bless thy holy word that may be sent into the prisons. Thou only needeth one word, and then it shall be as we have heard out of thy holy word. Then the cry and the prayer shall be born, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? May it be accompanied with prayer. Lord, by renewal, then we lay before thee all our temporal needs. They are great, they are manifold. There are those with that dreaded disease, with grave concerns. May our eyes be upon thee. May the prayers be multiplied, and may the solemn callings be sanctified. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the mother that is scheduled for her treatment toward the end of this week. O Lord, do go with her. Do remember her together with her dear husband. And may it please thee, the means to be blessed and the callings to be sanctified. Then by renewal, we remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Were those places remain so empty and even become emptier? Oh, do spare from rising up against thee. May all the solemn callings, may they be richly used for the hearts of young and old. Do remember all of our elderly ones who have come to the evening of their life. Remember our care home with all those that may lovingly care for them. Above all things, do richly bless the means of grace. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who toward the end of this week hope to come up to thy house under thy word and testimony, together with the calling upon thy most holy name, to receive the desire of their heart to be united in holy matrimony, and to begin life's pathway together as husband and wife. Lord, may they be given to beg of thee for thy special presence and for thy special blessing, that thou may be their pillar of cloud and their pillar of fire, and that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, Lord. Do remember all of our young people. Grant them the desire of their heart. May it be accompanied with prayer that thou may grant a future spouse with whom they may travel life's pathway together in the bond of marriage. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Grant thy spirit in speaking and in listening, and wilt thou also graciously care for us in this evening hour when we may be in thy house. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 137, the stanzas 1 through 4. The mighty God Jehovah speaks and calls the earth from sea to sea. From beauteous Zion God shines forth. He comes and will not silent be. And what follows, Psalter 137, the first four stanzas. And this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 5, the question and answers 12 through 15. Question 12, as since then by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed, and further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin, so as to deliver others from it. Question 15, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who was very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who was also very God. Lord's Day 5 speaks of a poor guilty sinner under the justice of God, with four thoughts. In the first place, a surrendering confession. Secondly, a demanding righteousness. Thirdly, an anxious searching. And in the fourth place, a qualifying mediator. A poor guilty sinner before the justice of God, a surrendering confession, which we find in question 12, a demanding righteousness in the answer of number 12, an anxious searching, which we find in 13 and 14, and a qualifying mediator in number 15. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the past Lord's Day of the sinner's arguments concerning the righteousness of God. And then the instructors, based upon the scriptures, then we have heard it that the Lord is so just, as so pure, and that he must punish all the sins which we commit in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. And then we have stated that oftentimes in former times, and not to idolize the old times, young people, too much, but then oftentimes with the explanation of Lord's Day number 4, then there were those that could not sleep so well. Profound impressions, a never-dying soul that needs to be saved, and that the Lord, that he must, and that he shall punish all sins. Concerning that punishment, Jonathan Edwards, in the year 1941, on July the 8th, has went to a certain town in Connecticut, and there the Spirit had not begun to work mightily, as he had done in many other towns, because the first awakening that was in 1734, and the second in 1740. And then he went to that town, and then he preached a sermon out of the book of Deuteronomy, that thy foot shall slide in due time. And then his theme was sinners in the hands of a mighty God. And then based upon scripture, then he has spoken of the justice of God, the power of God, and that hell, that is the rightful place for sinners. And then he has pictured the sinner as a spider hanging on a silken thread above the flames of hell, and declared, only the long suffering of God, that a sinner is not in hell. And now in this Lord's Day, then the instructors, then they are given to lead further over this Lord's Day. Then we read of the second part of man's deliverance, and then what a wisdom there is to deal with those truth-seeking souls, and not to discourage, but not to hastily lay on hands. The prophet Ezekiel, then he has spoken of those that try to temper with untempered mortar, and women that sew pillows under all armholes. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his preaching, then many times he was given to separate between the precious and the vile. And now concerning the way of salvation from the Lord's side, lies so firm and sure that covenant of grace in the work of the Father, in the work of the Son, and in the work of the Holy Ghost. But Christ has spoken in Matthew 7, verse 14, that the gate is straight, and that the way is narrow. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 18, that the righteous shall be scarcely saved, but they shall be saved. That lies so firm. And where the Lord has begun that good work, he shall continue. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover a sinner. And we read in Ezekiel 8, "Dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination." The true church of Jesus Christ shall learn and experience what a great deliverance it is as a poor and a lost sinner to be saved by free and sovereign grace. And now the instructors, then they continue, "'Tis in the part of man's deliverance, but before they speak of the mediator and the last question of this Lord's day, although it is true in the first edition of the Heidelberg Catechism, then the instructors have not divided the question and answers into Lord's days. But then we read something remarkable. No longer excuses, no longer arguments. Since then, oh, then also in this way, we have heard in this morning that a David in the way of hope, yet I shall praise the God of my salvation to sing his praises. But already in this Lord's day, in those few words, a poor sinner, that is worked out, that is learned, still a heavenly high debt. Since then we have a poor and a needy sinner that may be given to bow under the justice of God and ascribe righteousness unto him. Do in those words we not have a praising sinner? Is the God of all justice not glorified when a poor sinner that has already learned much try to excuse, even try to blame the Lord? And then to come on that place, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Oh, what a blessed place to come. A low place at his footstool before the judge. Oh, then in our Lord's day, then the sinner does not desire another God, a judge that would step off the throne of his justice, that would overlook, bypass sin, and climb on the throne of mercy. Now then in these words, then the judge is greatly honored and glorified. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, congregation that is so necessary, in our day that we learn our sins, that we experience that godly sorrow. And when that takes place, then world conformity shall much flee. Because when we experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin and are exercised with the justice of God, and the Lord pours out His love in the heart, then there shall be that hating and fleeing of sin, and also a fleeing of the world. Then we shall try to grieve the Lord no more, it is true, much bound up in the covenant of works. The child needs to be led further, that what they are able and willing to do, that is all of grace, and also flows forth out of the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve, have made herself worthy of the greatness of our sin. We deserve temporal and eternal punishment. That is the rightful place of a sinner, the bottom of hell and congregation. We cannot fathom, we cannot even imagine different terms in the scriptures to describe it. A lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Then the sinner does not ask to go lost, no congregation, but a sinner is given to bow. But that is a sinner on account of the love shed abroad in the heart. A sinner that cannot do without God. They have received much. They have experienced much. And then such a sinner has a twofold request, 2 points. And those 2 points, they separate the precious and the vile. Then the first point is there no way by which we may escape that punishment? Have we become busy with the congregation? Have we become busy with our soul? That one thing needful, or do we try to drown it out of our thoughts? Of course, that is not a solution. Or try to excuse yourself with the degree of God, or that we have become passive, that we think if I shall be converted, shall take place, or are there still souls that are much troubled with that one thing needful, profound and deep impressions that we cannot appear before the Lord as we are born, that we need to be born again, that my sins need to be pardoned? But now the instructors, they have made a separation. because none wants to go to hell. And young and old, may we not become too discouraged. Maybe there are those in this evening that are discouraged and that say it is so hopeless and I have sent everything away. Does it seem to be that there is only one place for me? And that is in the bottom of hell, but young and old. The Lord has given us His precious testimony. Oh, to declare our deep fall, but a way to be saved. The work of a triune God. That precious work of free and sovereign grace. And to that end, the Lord has promised, we have not deserved it, all sinned away. The Lord is just, but may we be given to beg more fervently. We have mentioned that time, and that was not the only time, and not the only place, when the Lord has wrought so marvelously and so wonderfully. Oh, we read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the Lord has promised in Psalm 72, verse 5, that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Oh, this Lord's Day, it is a discovering Lord's Day, separates the precious from the vile, but also an encouraging Lord's Day for those true seekers that have been wrought upon, those seekers that have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, those seekers that learn more and more that they are a sinner still, so vile and so black, bowing under the justice of God and asking whether there is a way for such a sinner as I am to escape that punishment. And that makes the separation. And that is on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. A love for that holy and majestic God. A love for His Word. A love for His law, a love for His day, a love for His house, a love for His people. Oh, to escape that punishment and to be received into favor in the true work of the Lord. That is the crucial point, because in our Lord's Day, we have a soul that has experienced much of the Lord's favor, because congregation, when the Lord works, then He pours that love abroad in the heart, and then their desires, if we have heard, out of Psalm 42, that goes out after the Lord and everything that connected therewith. Oh, the thought for such a soul to have to curse such a good doing and such a just God, their rightful place, but Lord, Is there now a way that I may be restored into thy favor? Is that not the prayer which we read in Psalm 106 verse 4? Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. But now our instructors are given to emphasize that the Lord is just our second thought, a demanding righteousness. Answer. Does the instructor say, does he now give rest upon that confession? And there is much religion in our day that steps over the justice of God. But the true child, by the work of the Holy Spirit, as much exercises with that justice and with the righteousness, because in this Lord's Day, then four times, it speaks of satisfaction. Thus the instructors do not say, soul, was such an experience, was such a confession, and was such a bowing, and oh, what a blessed place. When a poor sinner, oh, as that publican in Luke 18, may be given to pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But now the Spirit teaches them, 'tis necessary, 'tis the work of the Lord. But that confession and that repentance do not satisfy justice and do not pay the debt. And therefore the instructors, God will have his justice satisfied. Read in the book of Habakkuk that the Lord is of pure eyes than to behold evil, and thou canst not look on iniquity. Read in Numbers 32, verse 23, the soul that sinneth, be sure your sin will find you out. And in Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth shall die. God will have his justice satisfied. And concerning our sin, could mention many points that make sin so great. The first place, against who it has been committed, against such a good-doing God, has been committed against many a warning, against the speaking conscience, has been committed under the Lord's goodness, where it has not led to repentance, has been committed against many callings, the way of providence, and in many ways. Thus the greatness, the exceeding greatness and sinfulness of our sin, that we are transgressors, we have rebelled, we have become traitors. God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction, O congregation. How is it now with that payment? Have you begun to pay your debt? Have you become exercised with it? Or do we live as if we have no debt? Do we live with so little impression concerning the justice of God? God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Our third thought, an anxious searching, let us first sing. Psalter 446, the stanzas 1 and 2. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to Thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now Thy ear to me, and what follows. Psalter 446, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
a poor guilty sinner before the justice of God, a surrendering confession, a demanding righteousness, and now thirdly, an anxious searching. And then we read in question 13, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Have we become busy with a congregation, with satisfying the justice of God? Have we become concerned? Have we begun to labor with the same? Because when the Lord works, when the Spirit uncovers, and when that great and majestic God becomes real, and our sins rise up against us, and that true saving faith which worketh by love, then in this Lord's day, then we find a sinner with a holy impossibility, but also with a holy necessity. And now when the Lord works, then that people know what it is to be exercised with that satisfaction, and then how busy they become, and always, and that shall be seen in their life. Because when the Lord works, then we receive those earnest desires, those living longings for the Lord. But he is so righteous and so just, and the sinner learns that sin that brings that separation. And then they are given to reform, hoping that the Lord will have a little patience, and such a soul experiences that the Lord has much patience in his long suffering with the sinner as I, and then especially in the beginning, they hope to go from strength to strength and become holier and holier with the desire to never grieve the Lord no more, and to come to a place that the Lord may be well satisfied with them, and then to be given to speak, to be saved by grace, where it is nothing but a veiled covenant of works. But now the Spirit uncovers deeper and deeper, and even, then such a soul is so foolish. Oh, it is a good desire to appear holy before the Lord. Are there souls that are struggling with this matter? They know of those blessed times, sweet times. You can wash the sinner in their tears when they may be given to bow, given to mourn, given to confess all their sins and tell the Lord of their desires. But what shall a sinner now learn? And even if a sinner could not come to the place where he would sin no more, has that ever become our desire, congregation? Come to a place where we would sin and grieve the Lord no more. all those desires, they shall be fulfilled in the life of God's true people, but not here below. That is kept in store in the heavens, when the child may be taken home. But now, if such a sinner could now come to that place, then what about all the sins that have been committed before? They would still be in God's book and would require full satisfaction. And what else? Also their original sin. That is also on their account. Thus, what a holy impossibility from their side. Nevertheless, this Lord's Day, we have the exercises of the true work of grace, exercised with our debt and with that satisfaction. And then the instructors answer, by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. And concerning those exercises, let us mention Isaiah 64, verse 6. There the prophet is given to declare our righteousnesses. Let's not say unrighteousness, that the church also learns, but our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and therefore we daily increase our debt. The sinner learns that even their religious duties, that they are polluted with sin. 'Tis the work of the Spirit to make room in the heart of a poor sinner for that precious Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is free concerning the depth. And I read in Lamentations 4 verse 9 that it is better to die by the sword than to die by hunger. But the true children of God, they learn the same matters. No fruit from this tree forevermore. We have heard out of Acts 16 of an uncovered sinner at his wit's end. And then he was given to say, what must I do to be saved? For that jailer, the keeper of the jail, then there was room for the gospel, the proclamation of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. But now further yet, in question 14, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Then the church can look here and there, can rest upon what people of God think of them, but the true child needs a solution concerning that satisfaction, and then the answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And maybe our boys and girls ask, but what about all the sacrifices of the Old Testament? All the sheep, the goats, the oxen, what a blood has flown. And the Lord was well pleased with those sacrifices. Then those sacrifices, they did not satisfy. But those sacrifices, that blood, all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, then the saints by faith, insofar that they were led, then they were given to look, it was proclaimed, him who would come in the fullness of time. And then in the second place, and further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. What a solemn truth. No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. My unconverted fellow travelers, what are your thoughts now? Are you thinking, but then how must it go with me? Because the unconverted, they shall suffer that wrath. And now it is written, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. And if we go lost, to have to and not to be able. Oh, then this Lord's Day that declares the need for one. Help has been laid upon one that is mighty. And I read in Hebrews 7 verse 25 that he can save to the uttermost. And to that end, young and old, then we may not let you go to your homes, that you do not despair. Because in this Lord's Day, all profound matters explained according to the Scriptures, but then there is spoken of a hope, of another one that is able and willing to save. And that precious Lord Jesus Christ, there has never come one. The burden of their sins, with that holy necessity and that holy impossibility, that has been turned away. Oh, what precious invitations. And now concerning that precious Jesus, oh, boys and girls, young people and older ones, all may come. Then the King, then he still holds out that white flag of peace. But now by nature, what is our trouble? That we are not so bothered by our sin, that it has not become an unbearable burden, and we have never become desirous for the favor of God. But now the wonder that by grace, the Lord has promised to bless his word. He gathers his church by word and by spirit. They tell us that sermon that Jonathan Edwards has preached in that congregation, that it was so richly blessed. Oh, that many were deeply convicted of their sin and given to ask whether there is a way. Oh, and our last question, it speaks, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? And then concerning those qualifications, they are explained in Lord's Day number 6. But when the instructors are given to speak of a mediator, then it is declared that there is one. And that is so richly declared in the scriptures. And now concerning the mediator, then all may come. By nature none shall come, will come. But now by the grace of God, the Lord has a people uncovered, deeply uncovered, that they shall come. And for that people, I read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Yet a few words out of the scriptures to speak. And well to be the after preacher. We have heard of matters that need to be experienced by thy spirit, by thy grace, here in the time. Well, to add thy blessing, we may commence another week. What this week shall hold in, perfectly known unto thee, unknown unto us. And therefore we humbly ask thee, Lord, do take us all, from the youngest to the oldest, under thy kind care and thy good protection. Keep us from an unexpected, but above all from an unprepared death. Do remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember on the way. Remember at work. Remember at school. Lord, wilt thou remember the consistory when they hope to meet? Bless all the labors of our hands. We may thank thee that thou hast granted an abundance that may be harvested, and that thou granteth the opportunity, wilt thou keep from accidents. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies when we return to our homes, and then we commend also unto thee those who were called to labor in the night watch, taking care of the elderly, of the sick, and those that work in emergency departments, Wilt thou remember them all, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 135, the five stanzas. Hear this, all ye people, hear, earth's inhabitants, give ear, all of high and low degree, rich and poor, give heed to me, and what follows, 135, the five stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.